guess now is the time. All right. So I want to welcome everybody this evening to Wednesday, August 16th, 2023, Planning and Zoning Commission at 7 o'clock. And roll call vote, please.
Allison.
Here.
Jill.
Yes.
Tim.
Here.
Sorry.
Yes, I'm here.
Still here.
Yes, I'm here.
It's been a long week, like.
And Pete's absent with the conference in Vegas.
Conference.
All right, so go ahead, Levi. We have our guest this evening from MI Homes.
You just have to open the continued hearing for last meeting.
Yep, okay. All right. May I get a motion to open the new hearing, or the continued hearing from last month?
So.
I'll second.
Thank you, Allison. So the first from Tim, second from Allison. All right, and anybody who wishes to speak this evening, I can swear you in. So if you please, or if you even think you might speak or have an opinion about something, please raise your right hand. All right, thank you. All right, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God?
I do.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll just go ahead and turn it over to Josh to kind of point out the changes and stuff.
Yeah,
cool.
Perfect. All right, good evening. It's good to see everybody. Josh Barkin with MI Homes. Glad to be back. Thank you for the healthy dialogue and discussion last month on the project. I also appreciate some of the discussion, not only the weeks leading up to our resubmittal, but the discussion since our resubmittal with some community members, as well as some members of the Planning Commission and the mayor. So I appreciate that, and we can kind of shed light on all of that. But the first thing I guess I'd like to do is start just with a little bit of a summary of the major changes since our last meeting. I think that's probably the biggest thing. So a couple things. We certainly came away from last meeting feeling really good about where the discussion was going, as well as isolating the issues that was important to the commission. And we were also pleasantly surprised that some of the neighbors we've met with since, and a lot that were here last week, didn't speak too much about it, and that they liked the idea of buffers and some of the things going on. So what we did, the kind of low-hanging fruit, was there is an enhanced diversity standard in the zoning text that was there for some of the requests and discussions, and we thought that was important. And to make sure that you're really not getting the same elevation, even though we are offering a lot of things across two different products. We probably added about 2,000 linear feet of path, at least over 1,000 in 10-foot path that would be a regional trail along Vance Valley Road, as well as another quarter mile or so throughout the project. Thought that would help with some of the goals we were talking about. Then the other kind of big ticket items were really the lot sizes in the side yards. So we were able to increase subarea A from 55 feet to 58 feet, and we were able to increase the side setbacks from 5 feet to 7 feet. And a couple notes that we thought there, it certainly we all come at this from a different angle. The side yards at Retreat of Dustin in the village is at 12 feet difference. The housing in Sunbury, a lot of it is at 14. At North Lake Preserve in Berkshire Township is at 15. And it gives you some perspective. Certainly Galena is its own area and should be seen as in its own thing, but it gives you some precedent for what the competition, the housing market is providing locally, which Miller Farm will certainly be a component of that. Somebody that comes looks at Miller Farm will go look at Price Ponds in Galena. Certainly selling two different things a little bit, but it's there. So we felt good that at 7 feet we were very competitive. But the other thing, increasing the lot size to 58, because we really live in a world that our houses are 40 feet wide, or with a 4 foot garage truck, which is just the width of the length of the garage, or a three-car garage, which again is just the length of the garage. So the only time on those lots you would be seeing actually 14 feet is on your biggest houses, which is a little bit counterintuitive, because you would think that we're packing them in on the small lots and small houses. That if you're our base house on a 58-foot lot, every one of them has 9-foot side yards with 18 feet in between. And then certainly in the section on 65-foot lots, which we hadn't touched at the time, was that there we really had a minimum of 15, even though the tax minimum was 14, you had 15. And if you had a base house there, you actually have 25, two base houses next to each other, you have 25 feet. If you have a 4-foot bump, you have 21 feet. And so we had felt pretty good about the direction that that was going, that we were really working hard to keep the linear feet of street and pipe down. It keeps certainly our costs down, allows us to have 10,000 linear feet of path. I mean, that's what the resubmittal has, 10,000 linear feet of path. It's almost two miles of path out here. Keep the green space, keep the buffers, keep the subtle entry features, they keep the rural feel, keep the amenity in the middle, all of those things we really are important to building a great place to live. So that's kind of the background on what why I know it's 3 feet and everybody, you know, maybe it doesn't feel like that much, but it really does open it up. And the truth of the matter is every, we did even more, you're not getting any value for it. The houses will sell for the same amount either way. So that's kind of the background. The next thing, I guess, as we transition here is certainly received some level of feedback over the last few days that I'm prepared to kind of just dive into. Unless there's other comments or questions, I'll at least pause. I mean, certainly people who have provided feedback know what it is and know, have an idea of at least what I'm supposed to be addressing. But if anybody else has anything to say, I'll stop. I'll pause for two seconds. Okay. So fast forward to where we are tonight and our discussions and some of the additional feedback. And I understand that we're still kind of working through this area of what, you know, why smaller lots, what should it look like, what should it be. So where we've done some further research is that we could get to a place that we would be at 8-foot side yards with no encroachments except for the eaves and overhangs and the below grade stuff. So no principal structure, which really gives you, so 16 feet on a 58-foot lot. So again, you can't have a 4-foot bump there. So you're really playing in a world that probably most of the houses are 20 plus feet apart with no encroachment. So we talked through that, felt like that was a really maybe a reasonable place, as I had slept on some of the feedback was, if we were getting there that you're really seeing 20 on a lot of them. Again, the 16 feet are really only gonna be on your biggest houses that have a 3-car garage or a 4-foot bump, which is only a small part of the house. It's not like you're lining up the houses like you're downtown right next to each other. So we thought that was maybe a reasonable step without completely blowing up the plan, that we'd go to 8-foot side yards, 16 feet in between. We have talked to the fire department today. They didn't have internet, as some of you all know. And he actually drove out there this afternoon. And had a good, their number was kind of 15 in their head. And certainly back to the discussion of, so the fire department governs Galena, Sunbury, Berkshire, and one other place, and all of Price Ponds is all at 14 feet. Northlake Preserve in Berkshire is at 15 feet. Treated Dustin is 12 feet. So, and certainly all in compliance with International Fire Code. So I think from that standpoint, we made a really big step in getting everybody comfortable. We still heard that even though 10 is compliant with fire code, it still makes us a little bit uncomfortable. So I think that 16 feet was a good, I mean, felt like we got to a good place with them. So then the next question of lot sizes. So just for the sake of discussion, what we've looked at is if we're at 8-foot side yards and we went to 60 feet in subarea A, the smallest lots, and 67 feet in subarea B. Just for perspective, and we'll put it all on the table, that would add 1,000 linear feet of street and pipe to the job, which is effectively $1 million. And you're not getting any real value for it. So it's a tough one for us. However, tonight we're prepared because there's value in moving this along and everybody feeling really good about it, that we would go commit to a minimum of 60-foot lots in subarea A, 67-foot lots in subarea B, again, 8-foot side yard, 16 feet in between. And again, the only thing that's going to be is going to be those bumps, because now your lots are getting big enough. So those are the lot things. A couple other things just want to flip and address that I have questions on. We talked fire, we talked side yards. Bike path. So we get there, Allison, the additional bike path that would get us down. So the reason we didn't show a regional path on Sunbury Road is just the topography isn't possible. I mean, there's really not a way to get a regional path, at least on our side of the street in. Where we're always a little bit conscious of it internally is that it's certainly the HOA maintaining this in the future. So it's not necessarily meant to be the internal paths aren't necessarily be regional. But if we wanted to add kind of the path that we were talking, and we could show the drawing, it's 1,500 linear feet is probably over $100,000 for us, but we would consider adding the additional one, which isn't shown on there. Okay. You probably don't know what I'm referring to, but that really targeted to a specific question. But if that gets everybody comfortable, I mean, if that would be a big thing to move the needle, we would agree to that.
So Josh, oops, sorry. Josh, real quick, with that, can you maybe walk over here and just show the where that additional trail would go, or how the trail would go? So sorry.
Is the mic on?
What? Yeah, it's on.
Do a little hopscotch between these wires, don't
All right, so the question was asked of us is, in an effort to help, because we all acknowledge, like I said, the topography here and kind of the blind curve, is there something we can do to get a path at least in here to connect to this and up to Vans Valley?
That's what I thought you were talking about.
So it would be, I think what we were talking about would be coming off here and coming down like that towards the front.
Okay.
And so that's what we're certainly open to discussing and considering. You can tell I use a microphone often. All right. Path, next thing. The church connector, a couple questions on that. Certainly, we have a contractual commitment with them to do that and work with them. We're absolutely going to do that. I guess it's kind of outside of the scope of zoning, but they certainly, it'll look like whatever they want it to look like. That we're all committed to that. A question on the Silver Bass Drive dead end. So you'll see on the stub on the south side there. So that was also at the request of the neighbors that live there. And actually, when they bought some of that ground, there was a contractual commitment from Homewood to deliver that with their underlying development. So we did that. The other thing that actually came up a little bit today is they'd prefer not to have that stub to the east further up. And MI certainly has no objection to that. So to me, a little bit less of a zoning thing could be handled at final development plan or engineering, but that's where that came from, and we are comfortable with both and why we worked it out. Last 15.3 acres dedicated to the village. So that was removed for no other reason than based on some of the discussions, it felt like the village wasn't really set up to own and maintain it or have the ability to do that. So we took that out, and it'll be owned and maintained by the HOA. If desires change at any point in the future, we'll do whatever the village would like us to do on that.
And can you specify where that 15 is?
That's on the old plan, the dark green up
on the
top.
Oh, okay. That's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure I was tracking you.
If the village thinks from a policy standpoint that they would like to own that ground and they could potentially set up a park, some type of park in the future, we'd be happy to consider that, but at the same time...
And does that include the pond?
It does include the pond, and if we needed some level of maintenance...
Don't want the pond.
It's a retention pond.
Right, but they're all retention ponds. No, I get it. It's just, the only pond that we own in the village is at, communities at Galena. And so, communities, that big one, you know, yeah, it's the only one we own. Every other HOA owns their own pond. Retreat at Dustin, or, yeah, Estates at Dustin.
Do we think a retention pond in that location would ever have water in it, or is it just...
It would be full most, it would be full most of the time. It's a retention basin. That's what it'd be like.
Some of it's existing, too. There's water.
There's a little natural water area there.
Yeah.
I would disagree with you on that. I think it's short-sighted to say that we don't want to have acreage dedicated to the building. And it's also part of the subdivision regulations, I think, or the zoning code that the developer dedicate land back to the village.
I like all the trees and the green, just don't want the pond, in my opinion.
You don't want the pond.
It's discussed pretty heavily in the village because it's an incredible liability and expense. With fountains, with dredging, with all the irrigation that goes around it. So unfortunately, that's been something that's been brought up a lot lately from Delaware County Water and Soil. We're even talking to them because it is immense to have a pond. So it's just you know, a couple 2 cents and something to think about. It's been something that we've given the HOAs most of the time.
Yeah, so I think that largely those were the independent topics. I think there may have been some other stuff that stemmed out of lot sizes and side yards, but I think that got there. So I'm hopeful that, and also as I mentioned, is even with taking those lot sizes up, just the amount of infrastructure that you're adding and really the lack of value. And the goal here is to continue with the rural feel, no street lights, subtle entry features, buffers to the neighbors, all of that, and find a happy medium here, I think, is really productive. So I'm cautiously optimistic that that is a big step, and maybe with some conditions on this, we could earn your recommendation of approval this evening.
Can I ask also, Josh, we haven't talked too much about, you know, the pool and the pool house and that's all right there. Is that solely maintained by the HOA or anything asked of the village for that?
Solely maintained by the HOA, nothing asked of the village.
So they have to get their own lifeguards, they have to get their own pool maintenance guy, they have to maintain it, fill it, all of that?
100%.
Okay. Great. Yep. Thank you for that understanding.
So relative to the pool, what does it cost for an HOA to maintain a pool within their community? That's going to be an additional fee either laid on the HOA or an additional fee in addition to the HOA. Either way, it's more money out of the resident's pocket.
That's right. So we have, until probably 4 years ago, we had not done an amenity in a community in Columbus, and I mean, for sure, since the recession. And the last couple of years, we have introduced them really only in generally in communities over 300 units, and largely for the exact reason you just saw, that you can't support it if it's less than that. The only ones that we've done smaller is ones that are like Retreat at Dustin, which is empty nester, lifestyle targeted, that somebody's kind of moving in and expecting that type of expense. But you're right. So we've had, we have live pictures of kind of the concept that we've really gotten good with. So this is a picture at Farms at Jefferson, which is in Jefferson Township on the northeast side, Gahanna Schools. And it's really like an open air thing with the silo, which we've done the silo here, also at Woodcrest Crossing in Liberty Township. Just feels really good. And pool, playground, and it'll feel good. But this at 353 units is an, and at the stature of housing that's going to be selling here, which will be you know, anywhere from $450,000, $475,000 to $800,000, and who knows it by the end of it. We're comfortable that it'll be able to support that, but you're right. I mean, it's a very serious consideration in our business.
So spoke to you last week. Appreciate you spending the time to sit down and discuss some of these things. Is there any way that we could, you know, increase the size of sub B, and what would it take to do that, of the lot sizes?
So we looked at this in a few ways, and we got it increased from 65 to 67. And it really kind of broke down after that. I mean, the shape, the play of the streets, the open space, the area where the pump station needed to be, frankly, got really, really tough. And it just kind of blows up. I mean, from a costing structure, everything, it just kind of blew it up. And that's why we unfortunately could really only get the 67. I know that maybe the ask wasn't even to get the smaller lots any bigger, but we were able, and that was at least hopefully our way of showing that this is a compromise. It wasn't just say this is where it's got to be, but we saw that we had a little bit of play in the smaller lots, and that we're able to work with it, and we just really got tight on the of getting it to that 70 number, unfortunately.
So even if you borrowed 2 feet from the sub B or sub A, you couldn't transfer that over maybe more 3 feet to the sub B, so yeah. 58 and 70.
Because of the effort to keep the products separate is kind of where that fell apart. In the street grid, they really play as almost two separate subdivisions in some respect. And so if sub area A, like the north and south side, like I could play within that almost, but in B, it really lives separately. And the 3 feet, it wasn't a matter of just pulling here or there. I mean, you were really blowing out B and getting rid of, I mean, you destroyed the buffers. You had to move the location of the pump station, which was problematic. And it really got hard because we did spend a lot of time looking at that. But again, even in sub area B, I think what's important to know is the houses, if we have in that broader lineup, there's about 10 houses. The, you know, five of them are 40 feet wide, and then five of them are 44 to 48 feet wide at base. Mm-hmm. So on a 67-foot lot, if half of your plans, you know, are 40 feet, you're going to have 27 feet between structures in that area if it's two base houses next to each other, which certainly there's going to be some of that. Or there's going to be base house next to a 50-foot house, and in a 50-foot house you have at least 17 feet. So the bigger lots, at least I felt good about, that you're really going to get the side yard that you desire there, even if the lot may be slightly smaller than what we were hoping for.
Can I ask you, between on sub area A, or excuse me, B, between 239 and 238, there's just like an open piece of the pie. I was just curious what that was, or maybe it's topographical, or.
That's where the bike trail and the walking path comes through, I think. And
I just wonder if that was any area we could borrow from.
That, you know? That is the path, that's where the pump station is.
That's a pump station, okay.
Yes, yeah, so that little path is okay. Where the pump station will be.
Gotcha.
You can see that on exhibit H.
Oh, okay. Yes. Oh, yeah.
So when I look at exhibit L, it has the breakdown of the sub-area statistics. Do you, how will those change with the increase in lot sizes? I know sub-area A is 65% of this entire development. So I just wonder how many of the lots will be 60 feet, you know, what's the next level up? Like, you have a nice breakdown here to tell us how many lots are gonna be at each foot, you know, yet what that would be.
So this is gonna be a little bit confusing, because we talk about it in building width sizes, and here we talk about actual lot sizes. So in my head, I categorize the lots of how many have to be base house, how many can have a 4 foot bump, and how many can have a third car garage. As we've looked at it, that actually these guys did a good job, better than I expected. So and I have that at in sub area A, if we go to the 8 foot in 60 foot minimum, that roughly half of the lots will be 60 feet and half of the lots will be 66 or greater. So that's actually better than I expected. So half of the, because we're driving to half of the lots, making sure they can have a three car garage in that section as well. So half of the lots, if we go to 60 and 8 in 16 total, half of the lots will be 66 feet or bigger in that section. In sub area B, we would have half of the lots at 67, which could all have a third car, which could have a third car garage for the base house, and then about 50% of the lots will be 70 or bigger. So there's actually 20% of them are 74 or bigger, 30% are between 70 and 74, roughly. And some of that gives or takes with drainage easements from everybody and when we get through the engineering, so I'm a little hesitant to break that down. But I guess that's another good thing, is we can't forget that we're talking minimums, and part of a PRD is that it's a zoning to a plan, right? It's not just code that somebody comes in here and does whatever they want. Is I have to build that. And if I come in with a final development plan that isn't that, with these lot sizes, you say no. If I come in with that, you say yes. I mean, and that's prescribed that way. So the PRD is a good zoning for this, because yes, we're talking minimums, we're showing you what it will look like as we resubmit, that you're guaranteed that. We can't just drop everything to the minimum without approval from the board.
You mentioned when you were talking about the Silverback Drive dead end, the other dead end, is that going to be removed then, or will there be houses there? The one you said to the
east.
Yeah.
River Birch Drive, is that one going to be removed?
So the ask was to remove that stuff, which we're fine with. So, I mean, the only way I wouldn't remove it is if for some reason the village said for land grant planning purposes or practices that they want it there. From our standpoint, people that own the ground over there, I think will be there for a long time and own all around it. So, I'm fairly comfortable with it. There's not a direct route out to the other road. Yeah, we're happy to do it because it was asked of us, but I don't have, if somebody countered it with a reasonable argument, I mean, we put it there because you would generally think from a planning perspective it would be there, but there's all types of things like that change depending on what's around us. Do you have a preference? Does anybody have a strong preference one way or the other?
Have we talked to that landowner to see how that makes them feel? Because if I were the landowner, it makes it feel like it's coming. You know, like they're just waiting for me to leave. But if they're
stub there.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, so we talked to the large landowner around it who said that they spoke with them and that everybody was in agreement on Trenton that it would come out. So
Malik's. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
that it would come out and said?
Yes.
So, regarding the church connector, that River Birch Drive goes through their existing retention pond, and I think there was a note, and I can't remember offhand which one it's on, that said, that the existing retention pond would be reworked, or they just wanted to make sure it's on D3, actually. Existing pond to be reworked by the developer, and you know, that's an example of a retention pond that's been there for at least 10 years that has no water in it. Jill.
I'm good with ones that don't have any water in them. I'm totally good with that.
So I think they trust that you're going to do that by the contract. They just didn't know, like, will you move the entire thing over? Is it just going to be half a retention pond now? Is that something that the engineer weighs in on?
That's right. And what we'll do is, as we, assuming that we're fortunate enough to move forward with the project, we will go out there, sit down with them in engineering construction. Our on-site super will be in direct contact, and we'll make it there. And it's going to look good. I mean, frankly, it's going to be the entrance of our entire thing.
Right.
So our interests are way more than aligned. We also have to stub sewer to them, so we'll certainly do that. And we will work very closely with them to make sure it looks good. And every time we come in for a set of engineering plans or plat or anything, I mean, there's going to always be an opportunity. I mean, we're not going to be able to get through without doing that. And we have a contractual commitment to do that. So feel good about where that's at.
Any other questions from the commission? I know there's some questions on, I think, in the audience. There's a couple people got sworn in. So anybody from up here want to ask anything?
So no chance for in that sub-area B, which is only 35% of your plan, that we could get a 10-foot side yard setback.
It's really gonna, it is gonna limit the size of the house there. I mean, in my mind, the only thing that's gonna gain is less three-car garages and, frankly, less expensive homes. Which may or may not sound counterintuitive, but what you're doing is that at that point, the only thing that is actually even 20 feet apart is when people are optioning into four-foot bumps and three-car garages. And I just want to make sure everybody understands what I'm saying with that, is if we have, I mean, a box house, I mean, you literally just attach it on opposed to move the whole thing out. So almost on all of these lots is going to be in excess of 20 feet unless somebody pays a premium to add a third car or that. So I've tried to get the 70 today in sub area B and I couldn't. I think that with the 16 feet and no encroachments that for all intents and purposes you're there. I mean, it may be one or two houses in here that the third car garage and the third car garage are actually at 16 feet, but I mean the vast majority of these will be at 20 feet.
So are you willing to put in some limits then on how many houses will be built to that, and then once you reach that maximum, then there's the options change for the remaining?
I struggle with why, I guess, what is beneficial about that to the, I mean, I think it would be in the village's interest that the values are assessed higher to increase the taxable base. I mean, at that point, it's a more expensive, I mean, it's in theory, a nicer, expensive, more expensive house that is only at that minimum foot on that particular area. So I guess I feel like we'd be limiting you'd be limiting the upside for everybody on the house.
Okay, then we should just stop talking about only a certain percent of them will be built with the bump outs, because if you don't know the exact percent and you're not willing to put a certain percent on it, then it's just off the table. It's just, it's a free for all. Any of them can build whatever they want out to the 8 foot encroachment or 8 foot side.
Yeah, but we know practically speaking, it's not a free for all, but I also, it may in one community be 30%, in this one it might be 45%. And to commit to it today, before we're building homes in three,
right.
two and a half years.
I'm agreeing with you. I'm just saying we can't say, oh, but it's only going to be a few of them, when we don't know if it's going to be a few of them. It could be many more. It could be 40, like you said, or 50 or 60. We don't know. Yeah. So it's, to me, it's just not something that I'm considering as a selling point, because we don't know what we don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
But what we certainly know, that if we do this, in that half of the lots are gonna be 67, and half of the product can only be 50 feet, that, I mean, you're right, we still can't pin down anything, but the 67 foot lots can't even fit the bigger houses with the bumps. So there's, I mean, naturally there's some level of there. I just am hesitant to commit to it, because I don't know if it'll be, to your point.
Anybody in the audience? Kathy?
Just two things. So one being with the paths.
Hey, Kathy, get to
the microphone. Can you take the microphone?
I couldn't be any louder.
Yeah, but we're recording it. It's not.
So with the path, you might want to show the paths. With Walnut Creek, there's a path that goes down Walnut Creek, and then bike riding is down Joe Walker. If you bring you right to the corner where the green path is, where's the closest path?
That's where they have the red line on the one that says update. It comes to the corner.
They
added that for the update.
Okay, so we'll come right there.
Right there to the corner, yep.
So we were probably going to keep it Miller Farm. We introduced the street names that the village actually, and we had just, I mean, because it had been zoned previously and everybody's known it as Miller Farm for years, we had just planned to keep it. If there was something that was,
I believe it was the Miller family that owned that land.
Yes.
That's why it was.
Yeah.
The only reason I ask is, I'm asked all the time.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I'm with Miller Farm.
Okay.
Zach Hopper, 275 Harrison Street. So I was going to ask a question about the lamp posts. So they're going to be, are they still in the yards?
Yes.
Okay. I don't. Why wouldn't they be controlled by the HOA?
Because they're going to be part of the individual. They will be on each lot that will be hardwired into the houses, and they will be required as part of the HOA. I mean, it'll be a requirement that you have it there, and you can't get rid of it.
Because that's some the townships do as a municipality. Never done anything like that before.
Let me make a clarification. I think, are you thinking lamp posts, like a street post that's on the street? Those are not actually going to be in the subdivision. He's saying it's actually a yard light that's on a lamp post, like a front
I'm
front
not saying why we're doing that.
Okay.
So really, where that came from is, so throughout Southern Delaware County and townships, you don't have streetlights. Certainly most municipalities do. Where we were sensitive to it here was, this is certainly the first subdivision of scale on the east side of Hoover. And felt like, one, we're accustomed to having, not having streetlights in Southern Delaware County. We've done some subdivision with these lampposts that just look tremendous during night. The other side is, if we put streetlights out here, I mean, it will light this area up like the 4th of July. And so in an effort to keep the rural feel, to keep it off the reservoir, we felt like that the lamppost was a reasonable compromise to help with that kind of light pollution, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, that was something Josh had, I shared with several people and kind of got their feedback. They loved that idea. They just thought that was, hadn't really thought about it. And then when they thought about it, they were like, oh, like, yeah. Because, you know, having all that, you know, and it's dark and beautiful and all that now and see the stars. And by having the big street lamps out there, you'll be able to see that over the tree line, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that was sensitive.
So I see that point of it, but I also live in a neighborhood that has lampposts that when I'm driving home at night, I don't see the neighborhood lit up like the 4th of July. I don't even know it's there until I pull in.
Uh-huh.
And for safety reasons, I feel much better having street lights.
Michelle Parsons, 115 Middle Street. Yeah. My question is, we had championed and tried to do high density, and it didn't work. But can we get more of the larger homes, maybe fewer of the smaller ones, and work that out with the area, and then a little more community rate possibly? Because it's a beautiful area. And I don't know how you can address that, but it'd be interesting.
So thank you for the question. I think this is maybe a, so this plan, first what zoned out there is 40 extra acres of open space, and that's really what we're excited about here, is that we went into a lot more detail on this in the first meeting than I did tonight, but the goal here was really to get those green spaces, and what we've done throughout Central Ohio is by going to slightly smaller lots, which a lot of home buyers like now because it just is it's a different family unit, everything's different, they want green space that they don't have to take care of, was go a little bit smaller but really get great additional open space. And so I think on this plan we're at like over 68 or 69 acres of open space, and the original plan I think was under 30. So we have really, in the path, frankly, is that if we add the path we talked about earlier, it'll be over 11,000 linear feet of path, almost 2 miles of path. The original plan had zero on it. And I think that if we do that by the slightly smaller lots, if we, as we blow it out, we really start to eat into that. So I, without a whole background on the earlier plan, that's kind of part of it. So we're certainly going to.
So it's about the open space at the top left. So Allison, you said that for Jill said against it. So why can't we just split the pond off on the retention pond, the retention pond off from the rest of the open space and keep the rest of the open space?
I think we could have that as an option.
Yeah.
And maybe extend it down south a little bit more. It is a requirement in the code to dedicate open space back to the village. So that might be a good compromise. It's just.
And I'm sorry if I didn't make myself clear. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't want to get rid of the green space. It was just the pond itself. And if it's not an empty pond, I don't care about it being a big swell, but I just didn't care for the water in it. So
it's good to get it beforehand because it's really hard to get your hands back on it after you give it away.
Yes, it
and,
is.
And I understand your hesitation about the water, but I mean, hopefully the village is going to continue to grow and thrive and prosper. We'll be in a better place to implement care for those kind of things going forward. Mm-hmm. I think it's just really short-sighted to say, well, we don't want to do it right now. We don't have the manpower now,
mm-hmm.
which I don't disagree with, but in 10 years and 20 years from now, we might, and hopefully we will, But like Zach said, if that's gone, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
We can't get it back. So I would rather have it now, and then in the future, if we want to give it to the HOA, if that's how it works out, then that would be an option.
Yeah, we can talk a little bit separately about some of the discussions we've had with Delaware County Soil and Water. I'm not sure if everybody wants to hear all that about ponds, pond maintenance, and about potentially them taking over all of the ponds. Because in an HOA, like for example, we have a big one at States at Blackhawk, and it is something that we maintain as an HOA. We do the fountains in it, we do any dredging. We also carry the liability insurance on it. Last winter, we had a little girl and her dog out on the ice, and thank God for Tim Earp, who saw her. And she did not go through, but she was 13. She was not a little one, and it's a huge liability. And so that liability, in this case, relied on the HOA versus the village. And so because of the amount of money, to make a long story short, there could be a possibility where Delaware Soil and Water actually takes care of all the ponds. But in order to do that, we have to get okay from every HOA that currently has ponds. Heather Mayer, everybody. And we're not sure everybody's going to want to do that. So,
but if
that's
we
just,
owned that pond, we wouldn't have to get the okay from the HOA. We could just hand it over to Delaware County.
They charge, we would pay them.
There's a very large charge for them to do this process. So there's a lot of pluses and minuses, and a lot to think about. But yeah, it's kind of a big deal.
From our perspective, that discussion certainly doesn't need to be set
right
tonight. I
yeah.
mean, there's a lot of time for, I mean, we probably want to know that before we open for sale, just so we can communicate it properly. But at the same time, a lot of time for that all to work out. Certainly things will change in the village. You know, as you, this is a greater conversation than zoning, but as you start looking at different financing mechanisms in the future, there may be ways to bridge that gap that, frankly, our project can help with. But again, certainly from our perspective, we can continue that dialogue.
That's something that we would.
Sounds good.
If it's voted on and recommended to council, whether it's tonight or tomorrow or next meeting or whenever would be next meeting, that could just be option for open space as part of approval. We could do that as a condition.
Okay, sounds good. Oh, yep, one point.
Ready?
Yes.
All right, I'm Wendell Ferris. I live at 324 Caleb's Court. I have a hard time seeing the detail of what's presented here. So my only question is this: can you direct us to a similar development in this area that we can actually go see what this physically looks like if it was similar density and land size and things of that nature? Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. And again, didn't hit on it as much tonight, but and I know, and maybe I shouldn't take this for granted, but certainly MI has been in the community and has a very long, successful reputation in Columbus, very little to do with what the three of us have done. We're just trying not to screw it up. And we believe we are the best, most reputable builder in town. You're only here for 48 years if you take care of your obligations and responsibilities. And we get calls from people all the time that had an issue, bought their house 30 years ago, and we find a way to fix it. So what I would say is that there's a couple. Farms at Jefferson, which is with the amenity that I showed. This is 372 units in Jefferson Township, Gahanna Schools. Two products just exactly like this, split by Clark State Road, amenity the whole nine yards. That would be a really good one to take a look at. Right now, across from Berwyn High School, we're building one called Berwyn Farm. We actually there, it's two separate zoning, but we'll have 525 houses, two separate products, big amenity. Again, we'll feel really good. That one is really just starting, so you won't get maybe the same feel for it. Liberty Grand is two different products. It's by Liberty High School. You could see Woodcrest Crossing and Liberty Township would be another good one. North Lake Preserve at 71, is that a bad one? It just is, that's 212 watts, one product, and it also runs together with some other builders. So you can get to see some of our product and some of the architectural features, but that will give you the sense of scale and amenities that we're talking about.
So Jefferson Farms would be the closest?
That's right, the best one. I'd say it would head straight down 605 as far as you can go and cut over, and it's right there, it's probably the best one.
And my recommendation would be that for those folks that are on council and on this zoning committee, they make a little trek over.
We have, to four of them. Yep, we have a little field trips. Yep, done it.
Yeah, Darby Station in Plain City is another one that's going to be over 500 units. It's got actually three separate products in it, and then the built a roundabout at the front of it. The road improvement is some very, there's a lot of things that are really, really major about this project that we're excited about. I think, frankly, we're one of the few people that can accomplish it.
Now, Wendell, that was one of the first things we did. That was one of the first things we did. Yeah.
Josh, what product is going to go in?
So we call it our Smart and Signature product. Really, the bigger product ranges, call it from 2,200 to 3,200 square feet. Maybe the ranches are a little bit smaller. The smaller Smart product ranges from 1,700 to 2,700 square feet. They're pretty close. We usually have in a particular lineup, you usually have two ranches and four, five, six, two stories in each lineup. And the ranches, you know, we're not necessarily seen as an empty nester builder, but we probably build and deliver more ranches than anybody in the city, but based on our scale. And the thought of that is that this type of community is going to lifestyle in the sense that Grandma and Grandpa can have their ranch, and the young family and the grandkids can be in their two-story down in different sectors and just walk down the street and see each other. So between the two products, you're probably looking at least seven plans in each that have at least three elevations each, and then nine different colors. So I mean, you're really talking great diversity, especially with how we enhance the diversity standard in the text here. Feel really good about where that'll be and what the streetscape will look like.
Yeah, that was my other question, is in the series, are both series the type of homes where the buyers go in and make all of their selections? And then do you limit that, you know, two Navy houses aren't next to each other, or two, you know, stone fronts aren't?
Yes, and kind of. So we are in a world where the selections are narrowing. And some of that is just generational shift and thought on it. And a lot of it is frankly COVID driven and supply chain driven. That we used to have, I mean, I'll butcher the number, but I mean, we used to have 22 garage doors. And what happened during COVID is the manufacturer started making two of them. And so we were like 37 weeks out on a garage door, and we usually build a house in 24 weeks. So, we ran into some serious issues, but so we aren't a custom builder. It's not coming in and designing the whole thing, but yes, generally speaking, you come in, you say, I like the idea of that. We talk through the elevation options that are traditional farmhouse craftsmen, sometime a little bit of more modern elevation, but we don't haven't introduced that everywhere yet. And then you just drill down, and there's different things that everybody picks away at. You know, some people rather invest in this, rather invest in a flex room, extra bedroom, you know, finish their basement, whatever the case may be, and go through there. So I hope that answers your question a little bit.
Just so that the exteriors don't have
yes,
a consistently lot to lot looking the same.
That's exactly right. So in the text, we enhanced that, which it's, I don't have the text. There was actually
it was like
a
X,
chart. Yeah.
Y, X, and then there was like XXX. So that's, I was going to ask you about that too.
On page two.
I wanted to make sure that.
And crosses.
would we ask for three or four that didn't look at all the same?
The big thing here was adding in the color, right?
Was that adding what, I'm sorry?
Adding the color as part of the restriction, because our first one was, it was less than, it was not next to each other across the street, so just like that. And it didn't include color. So now we're saying, okay, not only is it next to across the street, it's the two on the other sides of that, and it can't be colored. So that's where you really start to get.
I didn't quite get that. So XXX, is that the same elevation?
No.
Okay.
Just the position of the lines.
This is elevation.
So that's a lot.
And all of these need to be a different elevation and a different color.
Awesome.
Because somehow where we're less stringent.
Yeah.
You could have the same elevation across the street, but one's dark gray and one's like a little lighter gray.
Right.
And people are like, well, that's not there. So that's what, while maybe the X's didn't grow a ton, it was adding in that color language too that we thought was what we were looking for and what really gets you.
Yeah.
What everybody
wanted to get away from that cookie cutter look. Yeah. Thank you for that.
And one of the points that I made with you this week was to discuss the 50% natural material on the front that Homewood had in, that you reduced to 25%. So does that mean 75% is going to be vinyl frontage or vinyl material?
Give or take, yes.
So
I
vinyl
mean,
homes with maybe 25% instead of the 50%.
Well, yes, but it's a nuance in the language. The language from was just any kind of natural materials, which includes cementitious board and hardy plank. What we've required in our text is that it has to be 25% brick, stone, or masonry. So that, in our experience, is where the elevations pop, is in the brick, stone, masonry, not necessarily in
yours
the...
Yours actually says, or other natural appearing materials, including composite materials, such as similar to hardy plank, smart board, or boral siding. So it is the same as...
Okay, well, that is not what it's meant to be. What we have is an option that in our houses you have 25% brick or stone on the front of all of them. And that actually largely is at North Lake Preserve, and you can see that there. There is 25% of the houses that are required to have nothing. But at North Lake Preserve, 75% of the homes were required to have 25% or more stone or masonry on the front. And you can see that the elevation is really... that's a hardy plank house with nothing on the front of it, and then that's a vinyl house.
You want to turn those around? This one too.
So that's in our professional opinion, that's where you get the streetscape and where you enhance it. It's not to mention, certainly we're doing it because there's a cost issue too, but it really does look better. Would we agree to the 50% of that? I mean, we're not going to let the deal fall apart over that. I just don't think, with strong conviction, that you will not get, you're definitely not getting a better product for that requirement. So
I live in a neighborhood that has vinyl siding on. So the front houses are brick or stone or stucco, natural material, and the three sides around it are vinyl siding. And it's to PRD code, so there's 25 feet between the houses. We have several homes in the neighborhood. If their neighbor had built a window into the side and the sun is reflecting onto their house, where they've had to replace their siding two and three times because it just warps. So I'm just worried, our neighborhood's only 10 years old and he's had to do it three times. So if people don't replace it, that's up to the homeowner, it starts to look really bad when you're just walking around the neighborhood and you can see all the warped site.
Yeah,
and
so
that's vinyl.
It's a couple things. One, in our case, we require 0.046. I mean, this is becoming a very nuanced discussion, but which it should be, and it's why we stand behind the product and the community, is vinyl comes really 0.04, 0.042, 0.044, and 0.046. And so this is the highest quality vinyl, that the strongest gauge, and that's really what gives you the rigidity, is this. And it also, vinyl has just come a long way. I mean, it isn't the vinyl of yesteryear, but the other problem that we have seen, because City of Delaware, Concord Township, like, prefers natural hardwood fronts and vinyl sides, where we've had trouble with the buying bases is that you have two different profiles, meaning width, as well as two different fade rates. And so it's a really hard thing to manage. With this new product, we haven't seen that it ruffles. Certainly, you got to power wash it every once in a while and take care of it, and if there's maybe some very direct thing, but this one we talk about a lot. I mean, we've gone back in other communities solely to get vinyl over hardy plank and a few of these things because we really do feel good in the cost difference. I know everybody's opinion is their own, but we sell a lot of homes and certainly aren't in the business of building something that doesn't get there. That, generally speaking, of our 800 sales this year, the people that come to the door, they'd much rather have the money to build out the flex space, to add the kitchen bump or nook, add the third car garage, than worry about whether it's hardy or vinyl. And the product, we stand behind it. I mean, it's in all of the communities I just mentioned, and in one way or the other, there's always some with different standards. But here, we specifically proposed this particular vinyl because we knew it'd be an issue, but we think it stands tall and will look really good.
Go ahead. If you can come on up again. Sorry, thank you.
Anyway, I have shaker shingles on one of my properties too. I have multiple properties, and it has lasted forever. It is man, it is siding, but they're shingles. They're beautiful. And they lasted, so this up here is the shingles, and then the siding here.
Yep, this is the sheet, the accent.
Now, is it possible to do the whole front and shake? But if you do it up here, my point is because sometimes when you mix these, that flavor is just not there. You know, this is great up here, but if we could do the whole thing like that with the brick, that's really nice looking.
Or is that up to the homeowner?
Okay. So that's a very good point. Ours, whether it's shaped, board and back, or traditional, is all architectural elevation driven. So typically speaking, with our homes, you have a traditional elevation, right. You have a farmhouse, and you have the craftsman look. And those things get introduced based on the architectural elevation.
Right.
And there's some options within it to do the colors and the accents.
Can you do 6-inch boards here instead of 3-inch? Larger ones, which are kind of nice too.
We have looked at that. We've had a lot of success with the 0.0446, and which is full. which is 4.5 inches.
Right.
So we've looked at that. We've used it. We haven't had a much better result.
What is that great? What is the insulation value on these?
The vinyl?
Yeah. You need to read that note, and that would be an interesting
thing. For me. I don't know. I can find out the answer, but okay. I don't know offhand.
Because the slopes are nice.
Yeah.
Anybody else in the audience? Anyone? Okay. How about you, Commissioner? So I guess the question is, so we can go ahead and close the hearing?
You don't close it unless you're going to vote on it tonight.
Yep. So the question is would you guys like to vote on it?
I think we should wait till Pete's here to vote also at the commission.
I did speak with him earlier, and he's looked and reviewed the plans and felt comfortable with them, okay. If that helps. I'm just saying.
I think you should be present for that question.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, you know, based off of some of the feedback from the audience and Tim's, you know, point on that, yeah, I mean.
And personally, a vote now might be different for me after I've had some time to think about it and digest the changes that you brought forward today.
Yeah.
Cool.
That would be my second point. Thank you.
Okay. Is there any other questions? Because this is really our time to make sure that we're asking those questions. So,
when does Pete get back in town?
Yeah, exactly. I know. I don't know. Yeah. Probably this weekend. But.
So would we wait a month, or would we have a special meeting?
Yeah, you'd probably have to wait a month. You could have a special meeting, but.
We could have a special meeting?
You could have one, but it. I would probably just, it would just, yeah, I would probably just have it at the regular monthly meeting.
As much as I hate to delay another month, I think you should be, I think you should be good at that.
Thanks, Pete should be here.
I mean, yeah, I obviously want everybody to be comfortable with their decision and have some time to sleep on it, so I'm not gonna object to that. If we could do it early, that'd be great, but no.
So we will,
I assume everybody will be here next week.
Yes, we will make sure.
The calendars are good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just checked.
Okay.
So you'll just continue, somebody will just make a motion.
Motion to continue the hearing.
So.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? All right, here.
One question for me, do you, Levi, with what we talked about, should I do updated exhibits, or we know where we're at and let's just come back, we'll know what it, assuming.
Could you do like one general updated exhibit? Like, I don't need every, like this whole thing, but maybe just like a couple of maps.
First page.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, except for that page three, you're gonna update on the description of the.
Yeah.
Material.
Oh, yeah, the one that said the 25% of brick, stone, and masonry.
Yeah, we can up that 50% and then.
Yes, Wendell, I'm sorry.
Are these exhibits available to the public?
Yes.
I mean, are they on the website, or?
You can come into my office anytime you want, and I'll lay them all out for you.
The reason we don't put them on the website right now is because of all of this, and because it's constantly changing. So, you know, the first drawing compared to where we end up can be somewhat different, so we don't, you know, publicize it out there at that time until we're pretty final with it. But yeah, you're always welcome to come in. Yep. Okay, so we have a.
The next revision would have some dedicated space land to the village, not the retention pond.
Yeah, isn't that what's already in there? So it would just be taking up.
No, it's just the HOA, it just all goes to the HOA.
All the HOA, oh, yeah, yeah, okay. I think they wanna have the,
If there's a reserve for the public utility, I don't know what our dedicated was supposed to even be.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, whatever, I mean.
Yeah.
Provide us the feedback and do whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, that, I know we answered a lot of.
That left-hand corner.
Mark's questions and stuff, and that, in my mind, we can get cleaned up with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if you're good with the 50% stone brick on the front, I'm good with that.
Sleep on that, we'll sleep on that.
My body's a tangible. Waves of falling out here.
So are we closing the hearing, Coach? Okay, so we close the hearing.
Continue.
Continue.
Good, sorry, sorry, yes, I'm so sorry. Continuing at 8:05. 8:05. Just for the record, our subdivision code says 25. Our subdivision code says 25. 25%, which I wish we could.
I just ask that if you are planning to leave, please sign in and the on the front table so that I have your names for the record. Thank you.
Okay, and then something we've been kind of kicking down the can here is the two ORC documents that Ken had put forward. We can get these copies out to everybody. Just so he sent them out, but these are much cleaner with just the resolutions about the decision effective such amendment adopted by Galena Council shall become effective. So these are just zoning code modifications that bring us up to date with ORC. So frankly, whether they're in there or not in our zoning code, ORC will always prevail. We're just trying to.
I don't have those.
Yeah, you don't have those yet. Yeah. I just got them tonight, so I'll get, yeah, I'll make sure you guys get them. Ken has sent them out, because they also have some of your comments on there, which is good. But they're, we won't be voting on this or anything, because we'll have to have a hearing for it. But I just wanted to bring those back because those need to get resolved one way or the other. But again, it all goes back to ORC since we are an ORC statute village. All right, and oh, no,
I think
just
we're
left.
Getting Ken feedback on that.
What's that?
I think if we're getting Ken, or like if we have to discuss that a little bit. I think, and Mike, maybe you can help me out, and Kathy, since you're here. And when you are in council and you're reviewing an ordinance and you want to suspend the three readings on an ordinance to pass it as an emergency, you first have to take a vote as a council, right, to suspend those three
the
readings?
Rules. That's yes. Suspend the rules, yeah, that's correct.
And suspend the rules, that's
yeah.
Right. And does ORC state, I think it does, that's why I'm asking, that it's 3/4 vote of council, so you need 5 members to agree to suspend the three readings, the rules first.
Yes.
I believe it's 5 to suspend, 4 for the other vote,
right.
For the emergency.
So I think if we're revising the words in the document, I think you could address both of those points
mm-hmm.
pretty easily.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it's both, then it could be confusing. So you still need 5 members to agree that it's an emergency and suspend the rules, and then 4 to actually pass the emergency.
That's correct.
We can make that clarification.
Yeah.
Thank you, Pat.
What was the second one? Yeah, the number of days for hearings and whatnot. So,
That was just removing the words planning and zoning.
Right.
We intentionally put in, but I don't remember why.
Yeah.
It's wrong.
Yeah.
We just need to remove that, and then it's the paragraph.
Right.
Fine.
That's good. Yeah. That's good.
Suspending the rules and passing it as an emergency are 2 different things.
That's what I was clarifying.
Yeah.
Okay. So thank you, Zach. So suspending the rules, you need 3/4, 5 members to do it, and then passing as the emergency, you need 2/3, which is 4.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Zach.
Unless you're overruling zoning boards.
And then it's also 3/4, right? If you're changing, making any changes to the recommendation, then
you can't overrule or modify without the 5.
Without the 5,
oh,
yes,
okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Cool. Okay. So hopefully we can get that all planned for next month.
I'll get that advertised. Hopefully we have enough time if I get it advertised ASAP.
Okay.
We'll be able to do it. If not, it'll be the following month, but it'll be in the pipeline.
Okay. Did you have something to do? Okay. And then, oh, I'm sorry, anybody else? Okay. And then Levi, if you'd like to go ahead with your report.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Major subdivisions, Arrowhead Lake Estates, stormwater inspections have been conducted. No empty lots remain. Still working on some punch list items, and I got an email from a lady today about a sidewalk issue that I forwarded to Mark and Kevin, and we're going to follow up with the Pulte folks and see if we can't get that remedied before they're done punching out. Blackhawk Bays D, stormwater inspections conducted, no empty lots remain. I talked to Tim about one lot that has a bunch of construction refuse on it, and working on getting that cleaned up. Miller Farm, we had the meeting tonight, obviously, and that will be heard next month as well. Minor subdivisions, 1811 South Galena Road, work is ongoing. The force main details are finished. The pump station has been set. Stormwater inspections have been conducted, and the gas line extension for Columbia Gas that's ultimately going to service that and anyone else further down Walnut Street than Quinn Street is underway. Development plans, Berkshire Campground, haven't talked to them lately. Don't know where they're at. Violation progress report, 370 North Walnut Street, unfinished detached garage, work is stalled. Another notice has been sent. Permits issued, 590 Flintlock, 185 North Walnut Street, an addition. I'm sorry, the Flintlock was a patio, 185 North Walnut was an addition. 641 Arrowhead Drive, a pool, 565 Parker Run, a fence. No minor subdivision approvals, development inquiries, just MI as of right now regarding Miller Farm. Other items, some issues with the zoning ordinance have been identified. We just discussed those. Not going to go into that deeper. Pressure testing for Galena Crossing Force Main has been completed and passed. That's all I have.
Okay. Oh, thank you, Levi. Anybody else this evening? Anything else? It's nice to see some faces out there. All right.
Did we approve the minutes from last month?
No.
No, we did not. Thank you very much. All right. May I get a motion to approve the minutes from July 19th? Thank you. And a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mike. So Allison and Mike, and all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The motion has passed to approve the minutes from July 19th, and thank you, Allison. Okay, so at our next month's meeting, we are expecting the folks who are looking to develop Arrowhead. And so they should be here at the next meeting from what they've told us, with some additional detail to their plan. Okay, so with that, may I get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
And second?
Second.
Listen, look down there. Thank you, Allison. All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you much. And the meeting has ended at 8:14.